Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fantasy Football Forecast from the Tower. I am your host, Travis Yates, flying solo this week. Co-host Lydia Cruz is off on fantasy assignment, and so I will be your lone host this week as we talk all about fantasy football heading into week 5 of the NFL season. And let's get right into our breaking news. Of course, if you are a fan or a owner of Odell Beckham Jr., you are well aware of what's happening right now. He is going off the rails a little bit. He's pulling what I like to call a Chad Johnson and letting his emotions get the best of him. And right now, the Giants are to the point where word out of New York is the coaches are considering benching him until he can get his act together. So I don't know if this will actually happen, if this is one of those, we're going to sit you down for the first few plays of the game and let you think about what you've done before we put you back in, knowing that we need you to win a football game. It will probably be something in the middle if they do. But something to keep an eye on. Odell Beckham Jr. has had one big game through the season, but certainly he's had his ups and downs, and we'll have to take caution moving forward as you assess the value of Odell Beckham Jr. Of course, the second week he had 8 catches for 86 yards. Versus New Orleans in the third week, he had 7 receptions, but 121 yards, so a little bit more of an output. No touchdowns so far this season, and he's coming off his worst performance. Minnesota shut him down, 3 catches, 23 yards. And Terrence Newman, 35-year-old Terrence Newman, having a fantastic game against Odell Beckham Jr. So that's the news out of the NFC. In the AFC, notes some big news involving a few players that you might have stashed in hopes of big things down the stretch. The first being Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon. On the eve of the week that he should be reinstated, he entered a drug and alcohol rehab facility. And what this tells me is that he's likely violated the substance abuse policy again. So we're waiting on word of if another suspension will be coming down, and I would assume it would be for the remainder of the season, if not longer. And more importantly, Browns head coach Hugh Jackson has said that we're done with Josh Gordon, that he's no longer in our plans moving forward. So the Browns have not released him yet, but he is still on the reserve list, so he's not taking up a roster spot. So they could hang on to him for a while, I suppose, until they decide what they want to do. So as a Josh Gordon owner myself, who I've had him in the past on the cheap, and he's paid off big, so I took a risk this year. Drafting him higher than I probably should have, but feeling pretty good about my first few picks and my two keepers. So I picked him in the 5th round. And, of course, I have, not wanting to, but I did finally after the week, after the news that came out, I ran into some wide receiver trouble myself on the rest of my roster, and I decided that it was time to let Josh Gordon go and cut him loose. And he's only 25 years old, and I'm actually a fan of his as a player, and I'd like to see him get his life straightened out. But as far as fantasy-wise, I don't think he has a whole lot of value right now. Certainly if he's released by the Browns and there is no suspension, then it bears watching what happens with him. So if you've got a space and you still want to stash him, then there you go. But otherwise, if you need some roster help, he'd probably be the first player you'd want to let go. Another guy that may have been drafted fairly high and stashed in hopes of getting some production down the stretch is Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert, the red zone extraordinaire with double-digit touchdowns last year, suffered the ankle injury in the Pro Bowl, set back in rehab, had surgery before the season, and so they were targeting week 5 as his comeback, but now he suffered another setback, this time a back injury. And that's the story with Tyler Eifert. When he's on the field and he's healthy, you're going to get a tremendous player. But having him on the field, keeping him on the field, has been a challenge for Cincinnati and for fantasy owners for his whole career. And so now this latest setback, you wonder what the future holds for Tyler Eifert for the remainder of the season. It doesn't sound real serious. Marvin Lewis is saying he still might play, but I'm guessing that they're going to hold him out of the game versus the Cowboys this week. And then you just don't know about that ankle. If you're a Bengals fan, you've followed it closely as I am, and it all seems rather weird. It was supposedly not an issue over the offseason. He even went hiked some mountain somewhere, and you know, all was well. And then out of the blue, he had a surgery on it because it didn't heal properly. And so now here we are, and he's dealing with other injuries as well. So that is some news. And then also out of the AFC, back from injury, is from the backfield that you absolutely don't want any part of, the Miami Dolphins running back Arian Foster is coming back from a groin injury. And head coach Adam Gase has been rotating Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake, Damian Williams, and Isaiah Pede in Foster's absence. And so now you throw a fifth running back into the mix, and who knows how that is going to all shake out, but I wouldn't want any part of that backfield at all, Arian Foster or not Arian Foster. So that's your breaking news from the Tower this week. And so now let's talk about some folks that you might need some help. Who's still out there? It's now week five, and to quote Denny Green, a lot of these players are who we thought they were. And so there's the slim pickings are getting even more slim as we get into the heart of the season here. But there are a few. There are a few gems still out there. And rising from the ashes, back from the fantasy graveyard, is Eddie Royal, Bears wide receiver. Here's a guy who's available in nearly 60% of ESPN leagues. And I've been burned so many times by Eddie Royal after his tantalizing 2008 rookie season where he caught 91 balls. The closest he's gotten to that since was 62 receptions in 2014 when in San Diego. But he's having a bit of a career resurgence now in Chicago. Kevin White just went on the injured reserve, and Alshon Jeffrey is hurt again. And Royal seems to have developed a rapport with starting quarterback Brian Hoyer. So he's on pace right now for 72 receptions, which would get him a little closer to that 91 peak mark that he had his rookie season. 72 receptions, 960 yards, and 8 touchdowns is what he's on pace for now. And he's coming off his best game of the season, 7 catches, 111 yards, and 1 touchdown. So Eddie Royal, a receiver that might be able to help you on the waiver wire. Now, there's a caveat here, is he's just popped up as of Thursday afternoon on the injury report. He's dealing with a strained calf, I believe. And so he's questionable right now heading into their matchup with Indianapolis. So long term, for the full season, Eddie Royal can help you, but he might not be a player that you can grab right away and put into your lineup. And Zach Miller, the Bears tight end, who was our waiver ad suggestion for last week, he's also questionable heading into this week, but he had 3 catches and a touchdown last week, so he also put some points on the board again. So if you have the room to stash him, maybe now is the time to grab Patriots running back Deion Lewis. I have done so, which is also one of the reasons why I couldn't hold on to Gordon, because I can only stash so many players, right, until it's time to get some production out of these guys, or at least have them able to come off the bench when needed. But word on the street is that Deion Lewis is moving around fine after his latest knee surgery, which wasn't as serious, just kind of going in to clean up the ACL. And he'll start practicing in a couple weeks, and he should be back on the field with Tom Brady for the second half of the season. And he really was impressive down the stretch last season, and so he'll be fresh coming in there into this season. And so Deion Lewis, if you're looking for running back help, which who isn't in the fantasy world, he might be a guy that you want to grab and stash for now. I'm assuming everybody at some point will grab him when it's time to put him on in a starting lineup, and so if you can, do it a couple weeks early. And then lastly, Bills wide receiver Robert Woods is now the number one wideout in Buffalo. This is a deep ad here, of course. The Bills are a run-first offense, and Woods is still rather unproven. But in his first game in that role as number one receiver, he had 7 catches for 89 yards. And he's had 13 catches over the last two games. So Tyrod Taylor is looking his way. And so Robert Woods, if you're looking for help at wide receiver, I don't know if he's certainly not the talent that Sammy Watkins is, but now Sammy Watkins is in is on the IR, and Woods is the man there. So some help from the wide receiver spot there out of Buffalo. All right, so buy low, sell high. Let's say there's nobody on the wire, but you've got to make a move here. You're in desperation time here, as a lot of teams are. The season is young, but, you know, if you haven't put some W's on the board yet, your season's not looking real good, then now is the time to maybe make some moves by hook or by crook. So here's some buy low, sell high candidates that we have. Last week we told you to try to get Jordan Reed on the cheap. He was had declining stats the entire season. And what did he do after that? Oh, ho-hum. He just had 9 catches for 73 yards and 2 touchdowns. So if you took our advice and picked up Jordan Reed on the cheap, then, a pat on the back to you. And maybe you'll listen to us again this week when we give you our buy low, sell high candidates. So buy low. This one you might have to cough up a little more than usual, but you can still maybe get him from a frustrated owner. Houston wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, similar situation to Reed. He's coming off some disastrous weeks, just 5 catches for 60 yards in the last 2 games, and only 1 catch for 4 yards last week versus the lowly Tennessee Titans. His trade value, it might be a little high, but if he has one more bad week, I'd go after him aggressively, especially if you're in a keeper league. Another 1 or 2 catch game, that's 3 bad games in a row, and you might be able to pair him from someone's roster for something a little less than what you might normally have to give. Another wide receiver, Raiders wide receiver, Amari Cooper. He is the leading receiver for the Raiders, but he's had declining yardage every week and no touchdown on the season. So why would I tell you to go get him, you might ask? Well, Latavius Murray, the starting running back, is hurt. David Carr's really finding his groove. I've got real high hopes for David Carr. And the other wide receivers for that Oakland team are benefiting right now. Seth Roberts, Michael Crabtree, but it's only a matter of time until defenses start rolling coverages their way, and then you're going to see Cooper start getting back in on the action here. So Amari Cooper might be a guy that you could buy low from an owner needing a little more production out of their starting wide receiver one position. The sell high candidate this week, LeSean McCoy, Bills running back. And, this is not a knock at all on LeSean McCoy. I like LeSean McCoy. I drafted LeSean McCoy, and he is my flex player every week. He looks like the Shady of old right now. But Sammy Watkins just went out on IR, and the McCoy getting the touches that he's getting, the wear and tear on his body with the amount of touches and receptions that he's getting, might be a good time to find a running back starved trade partner and really, really get a good deal here for McCoy. He's currently 5th among running backs scoring, but my big question with him is how long does he keep it up? And I wonder that myself on my own roster. I'm enjoying the fruits of his labor right now, but I do question whether he can keep up this whole pace, especially now with Watkins on the IR. You're going to see teams stuffing more defenders in the box to stop that run game. All right, so let's talk about the pick'em leagues. And, we've got some obvious games this week. New England playing Cleveland. We know that New England's going to be the winner there. So I'm going to go with some less obvious games here. I like a little bit of an upset special between 2-1 and 3 teams, but I like Tennessee over Miami. Right now, Miami's a 3.5-point favorite. But Miami's got a really, really good run game. They have a lot of issues right now. Mariota's coming off 2 really bad games. So their passing game isn't all that great, but they can run the ball. They've got 2 very talented running backs. And Miami's just a mess. You saw them fold completely against Cincinnati on Thursday night in prime time. Right now, the game is in Miami, but there is potential that it gets moved to Nashville to become a Tennessee home game, because we've got Hurricane Matthew barreling down on the East Coast, and specifically Miami. And I think it's going to get through and passed by Sunday, so I think they're going to be able to play. But you just also never know, what kind of effect that's going to have on the players that live in Miami, that are from the area, their families. their minds not might be 100% on that game, depending on the effects of the hurricane. So I do like Tennessee in a little bit of an upset there against Miami. And then we've got 3-1 Pittsburgh going up against the Jets here at 1-3. And this is do or die, I'd say, for the Jets here. They moved to 1-4 with a loss. And I think that they do move to 1-4. I think that Pittsburgh is on a roll. They just got Le'Veon Bell back. And the Jets, they've had some issues. Eric Decker is now out. They've got some talent there. That's a talented team, the New York Jets, but I don't think that there's enough talent there, and with the injuries they have right now, to defeat a Pittsburgh team that is very hot. So I'd take Pittsburgh over the Jets there, even with the Jets having their back against the wall. So the Thursday night game, we've got Arizona at San Francisco, and boy, I expect a mess of a game. Both teams are having a lot of issues. Arizona is clearly the more talented team here, but you have some injuries on that front as well. You've got players that are not performing up to their standards. You've got a head coach in Bruce Arians who is calling those players out publicly, and so we'll see how they're going to react there. No Carson Palmer for this game. So this is the vaunted Drew Stanton versus Blaine Gabbert matchup that we've all been clamoring for, right? This is going to be an ugly game, and it is a Thursday night primetime game. So we'll see. I'm curious to see what the ratings look like. That's a weekly feature now that we keep seeing is the ratings are down. The ratings are down. Well, I don't think that the Gabbert versus Stanton mega matchup here is going to help in any certain way with the ratings. As far as who to pick here, I'll go with the talent here. Even Drew Stanton is a journeyman, but he has been in the starting position for this Arizona team before, and uber-talented running back David Johnson is their all-purpose threat. They no longer have Chris Johnson, who went on IR, but Andre Ellington is also a talented running back that they could use in multiple ways, so I think the talent wins out in this one, but I don't expect it to be a pretty win for sure. All right, so we're going to wrap up this week with a What's the Deal With, my favorite segment. And each week we just get something new that you just wonder about and ask yourself, what's the deal with? And this week, with the election season upon us, I ask, what's the deal with politics in the NFL? Now, of course, we had the Colin Kaepernick national anthem scandal, and I don't even know if scandal is the right word for it, debate. This was a player speaking out, and of course he has every right to do that, but it was a very hot button and sometimes turned political debate, and so it kind of started to detract from play on the field specifically. And now word comes out that Buffalo Bills head coach Rex Ryan and his outspoken support of Donald Trump has fractured the locker room. Bills players are only speaking anonymously except for, and no big surprise here, guard Richie Incognito, who also shares in Ryan's support of Trump. And you're getting some word from anonymous players that they're shocked at Rex Ryan and his support of Trump. They're disappointed. And the locker room is now kind of fractured to that degree. And, folks, there's a reason that Hollywood films all have happy endings. Audiences want to escape from the real world for a couple hours. And professional sports, it's the same thing. We want to take 3 hours on a Sunday and disappear for a while and not worry about the concerns of the world, but lose ourselves in the wonderful sport of football. It unites us in strange ways that we can't even comprehend sometimes. So let's not let politics ruin that. Let's keep them out of the game, and let's keep the focus on the play on the field and on the crazy fandomness and on the fantasy football that comes along with it. So what's the deal with politics in the NFL? Let's see if we can get that cleaned up. As any good coach would say, we're going to clean that up for next week. Let's see if we can clean up the amount of politics that we're seeing on a weekly basis in the NFL. All right, that's going to wrap up a fairly abridged version here of Fantasy Forecast from the Tower. Again, I'm your host, Travis Yates, wishing you luck this week in all of your fantasy matchups. And we will be back with more breaking news and suggestions and tips for your fantasy football team next week. We'll see you then.